A Queensland Women's Legal Centre is calling for the state's rape laws to be reformed, arguing that they're systematically failing victims because of an outdated definition of consent. The Queensland Women's Legal Service is echoing the call of a Gold Coast woman whose accused rapist was acquitted of charges in 2011 after she testified in court that she'd sustained serious injuries during a sexual encounter with the man. Julie Sarkozy is a solicitor with the centre. Welcome to RN Drive.
Hello, Patricia.
So what are your concerns about the current consent laws in Queensland?
Well, as they stand now, the effect of them is to essentially women are viewed as submissive, acquiescing to sexual intercourse unless they resist in some way. So it is currently the standard, which is unless there is some very positive and compelling and obvious indication from the woman that she has not consented and has not in any way led the accused to believe that she might have been consenting, then the accused will actually always be acquitted, that is, let off. And to actually understand what I mean by that is that in Queensland and in other states, we have this legal notion which is mistaken belief. And what that means is that when a woman says, I've been raped and I didn't consent to what occurred, the accused can and does say, but I thought she was consenting. And that, once the jury believe that, will actually acquit him or get him off. I thought she was consenting. And the law is very clear that is actually a subjective test. So if he thinks that she was consenting, even though to you and I and everyone else it would be absurd, the fact of the matter is that that's all you've required to actually get him off the conviction.
You say the laws are systematically failing victims. What are some examples of cases to support that claim?
Well, The reason why I've used the word systematic is because it's a system. It's like a system of abuse. On the one hand, we have, I'm aware of the statistics, the very recent statistics, that basically say about a tenth of rape and sexual assault is even reported to the police. Why would that be? Well, that is because once somebody actually develop or has the courage and has the support to actually report to the police, it's very likely that maybe the police won't actually even do anything about it. And a really good example is a woman that I'm currently working with who was raped in December of last year. The circumstances are, to be honest, not very extraordinary. She was out with girlfriends. She drank a lot and was led outside by a gentleman she only knew in passing. She alleges he raped her. She had a fractured wrist. She had bruising on her. She had bruising around her neck where he held her. She had bruising in her mouth where he held her mouth closed. When she reported that, which was in a couple of hours, she reported it to the police. They went and spoke to him, and he said, I thought she was consenting. She was really drunk. She led me to believe that she wanted it. They have not pursued charging him. They haven't even pursued charging him. So this is actually a story I hear all of the time. So when a woman actually does go to the police, they know, because it is a trickle-down effect, how is this going to play out in court? Is this likely to get a conviction? They know what the rape laws are. They know what the definition of consent is. They know about the excuse defence of mistaken belief. And they say to themselves, we're probably not going to get up on this. We won't even use the resources of the police to investigate it further.
Tasmania is said to have the strictest sexual consent laws in Australia, and they require what's known as active consent that's clearly communicated.
Yes.
Are you advocating that Queensland, you know, follow that model?
Yes. I can't be clearer. I mean, the fact of the matter is that when you have a law that explicitly says if a person does not freely agree to an act, to the act, by not saying or doing anything to communicate consent, then they have not consented. That, in my view, is at least a significant way of at least taking a lead in our courts, in our judicial system, to say, this is what we expect. We expect adults to provide evidence of positive action, a communicated consent. No more of this, well, she didn't say anything. I think we're all familiar and we can all imagine how someone who's very scared would not do anything. There's quite a lot of cases where a woman who alleges rape, and the circumstances are something like, she's so scared she doesn't do anything. She's so scared that she will wake up the children or somebody will be hurt if she resists, if she fights back. She's so scared of getting a sexually transmitted disease or becoming pregnant that she says, please at least wear a condom. And in every single one of those circumstances, it's been determined as he thought she was consenting because she was frozen, because she asked him to wear a condom, because she didn't punch him in the face. It's just not good enough.
The president of the Queensland Law Society, Bill Potts, says he welcomes a community discussion about sexual consent laws, but that he cannot see, and I'm quoting here, any clear evidence which suggests that any perceived failure is in fact causing injustices in the state at all. Is it a question of examining more closely how the laws are being interpreted instead of the laws themselves?
I think all of that is, it's on the cards. It should be happening. Women's Legal Service I'm going to do a bit of a plug here, but we have a link on our Facebook asking people who want the Queensland government to do a review. It's one of those e-letters to send the Queensland government, because what we're asking for is a whole of sector review to our existing responses to sexual assault and people who've been raped and sexually violated. So it's not just about redefining the law, but that is part of it and a very key part of it. It's also about police training. It's also about the actual directions that judges are given to give to juries, which, I have to be honest, are often really hard to understand and very confusing. I mean, if I was to take you through, you know, the onus of proof then gets shifted back to the prosecution, I mean, these things are archaic. They're almost incoherent, and there's like this double standard about subjective knowledge, belief and consent, and then it becomes objective. I'm not the first person to say we need to have a thorough look at the way our community manages sexual violence towards members of our community, and it is a gender-based crime, so I'm going bold and say sexual violence towards women in our community.
Just finally, the Queensland Attorney General, Yvette Darth, says she'll be writing to your organisation about the concerns that you've raised and perhaps about what legislative changes you would like to see happen. Are you encouraged by the response? Do you think something is beginning now?
I'm very encouraged, and I look forward to have those discussions and to see reform in this area. There are a whole range of ideas that I have that Women's Legal Service has, simply things like specialist courts, advocates for rape survivors, even solicitors for rape survivors, the whole range of, you know, the changes in the legislation, people who are actually skilled and trained when it comes to prosecuting rape. All of these things are long overdue. Services that are actually targeted, specialist services, even a specialist legal service that is actually about talking women through what they can expect in court. All of these things are long, long overdue. And I really look forward to and invite that kind of dialogue with the Attorney General.
Thank you, Julie, for your time tonight.
Thank you so much, Patricia.
Julie Sarkozy is a solicitor with the Queensland Women's Legal Service. And if this story has caused you distress or raised any concerns for you or anyone, of course, you know, you can call Lifeline on 13 11 14. This is RN Drive.